I usually like to sit and I need space to dream and vision and plan. And so, you know.
Indeed.
And on that note, what are we talking about this time?
We are talking about, we're not talking about a movie or a TV show. We're talking about an interview.
Yeah. A 2.5, almost 3 hours long.
It's like interview. 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah, interview. Almost 3 hours long. Yeah.
Of Cat Williams. So
if you haven't seen it, you have been living, you've been under a rock. Well,
oh my gosh, this is the thing that kicked off 2024.
Listen, I'm not even on social media like that right now.
You heard it through the grapevine.
I heard it, and it's hard to avoid. It's like, oh my goodness. So, yeah, and I watched the full thing.
Same here. It kind of spiraled out of control a little bit because I saw a couple of statuses talking about it. Oh, yeah, this Cat Williams thing. Cat Williams. And then suddenly everybody's talking about it. But by the time everybody was talking about it, I had started watching it because I was like, what is this thing? And I found it and I was like, ooh, this is almost 3 hours long. And then he gets right into it. But
it gets your attention.
Oh, immediately. So let's introduce ourselves. I am Josh, a.k.a. Prop Josh. And I'm joined by my brother, Smiley.
Jason. Yeah, a.k.a. Jason. Also known as Smiley. Yeah, that's me.
It's a brother episode. So I was thinking, because sometimes it's me and Marcus do an episode, and we call it, the double P's episode. And if it's me and you, it's like brothers, or it could be Malcolm and James. We're the brother voices. Episode. So what would be if it's just you and Marcus? The Jackson
from
boys.
Another mother and
them Jackson boys. I don't know. The Mississippi boys. That's what y'all would be. The Mississippi boy episode.
We gotta do a couple. We only did one.
Because I am always available.
Yeah.
Y'all caught me when I was in my busy time.
Yeah.
Doing cons
one time,
and stuff.
One time.
Oh, I'll be busy again. All right. So let's jump into this thing like Cat Williams did.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Yeah. It gets your attention pretty quickly. So I listened to this while I was driving back from New Orleans yesterday. So
thing. You're gonna have fresh things in your mind. So if anything I left out, you could definitely pull up. But let's talk about like your thoughts on Cat Williams as a comedian, like our thoughts on him.
Yeah.
Before the interview. Yeah.
I mean, he was always his very distinct voice, which is important for a comedian, And so you can pick him out without even thinking about it. You know how he gonna sound, which is very, that distinct voice helps his comedic timing. It's just like, oh yeah, he's telling. So, I thought he was pretty funny. Most things that I've seen him in, I've laughed at. I haven't watched a lot of his stand-up specials. It's only been clips, so I wouldn't say that I'm a Cat Williams fan and I gotta see every one of his shows, but I never had anything I didn't really get bored per se, but it's just I just didn't follow him a lot. So
for me, I did watch a lot of Cat Williams specials. He's one of those comedians where there's certain comedians when they come out with a special, I jump on it immediately. That would be like Dave Chappelle, Kevin Hart, Chris Rock. Whenever they come out with a stand-up, I almost stop what I'm doing and watch their stand-up. That's how I am with them. Cat Williams is more toward the middle for me. I'm just scrolling and I happen to catch Cat Williams got a special. Oh, let me check this out. Let me add that to the queue or something like that. Or let me watch this later. So that's mainly what he is for him, for him. I do watch him over other comedians. Maybe some of those other comedians he talked about.
Yeah, you say you prefer him over some other comedians.
Yeah, I do watch him over some other comedians, but I do know he's a little
wise.
Yeah, as far as stand up, because I know, but I know because he's definitely a little crazy. He's definitely a little crazy. He'll say what he'll speak his mind.
Yeah,
I love him on Atlanta. I love him on Boondocks.
Oh yeah,
I love him in Friday After Next.
He definitely embodied every role that he was in, and when it comes to, outside of the stand-up. So he hasn't been in a lot of roles. Like, he's not like a, you know,
yeah, he's not a movie star. But when you see him, he's gonna do well.
Right.
That's exactly the thing about him. Like, I don't think there's a movie I've seen him in that I was like, yeah, Cat Williams weren't that great. Like, for real. Like, that's
or even recent, you talk about Atlanta, like that, you know, like, he's very memorable in everything that he's in.
I know, in Atlanta episode, they was like, he got an alligator. Does he got pet alligator? That's through the whole episode that he was in.
Mm-hmm. But he does good. He does good at the pimp role too. So he's played that a couple times. Just got that voice and that character.
He's known for playing pimp. Slipback.
The way he dresses, even in his stand up, is like he got that eccentric vibe, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I think that made it easy to cast. Easy to cast him for certain things like that.
Yeah. Speaking of casting, let's jump into this. So he starts off hot.
yeah, he does.
Starts off on this,
which I mean, Shannon Sharp is just, and I've never actually, now I've heard of Shannon Sharp before, and I've seen like some like commentary he's done for different sports, you know, ESPN type thing, or, you know, but I've never actually sat down and listened or watched any of his interviews.
This is my first time seeing Shannon.
Hearing
Sharp.
Him.
Never heard of it before this.
So, yeah.
I was introduced to this for real. Because I was like, I've never heard of this. Because I've heard of all the other black football interview things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially retired football players who do their thing, you know?
Yeah. Once you become, I feel like that's a pretty good gig to have when you played professional football and you become famous because everybody sees you. So now you can actually talk to anybody because you were a celebrity.
What's the dude's name? Oh, Michael Strahan. That's who it is.
Yeah.
Michael Strahan. Mm-hmm. He was a football player and now he's
interviewing people. So that's what happens when you would, you know, that's a good, I feel like that's a great gig to do after you become, because honestly, if you think about it, retired football players, they have to, every single week they have to have, multiple times a week, they have to have interviews. So they have to be interviewed, you know, give 110%, you know, got to make sure that, you know, they say the same stuff over and over again a lot of times, but
the thing about being a retired football player, you can retire at like 30.
Right.
You retire pretty young for real.
And you still have, and you have all the, if you manage your money well, then you're good. But then you have an avenue to make more money because your name is famous.
Right. There's a lot of pro athletes, a lot of them. So a lot of them have, you know, retired, and they retire fairly young, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, what do you do next?
Mm-hmm.
So, good for him for having this platform.
Yes. Shannon Sharp, Club Shay Shay, advertising his alcohol. get people drinking and having a conversation. I mean, that's a pretty interesting, you know, thing. Just sit in front of a camera and talk.
Right. Because I saw him being talking about the interview afterwards. And he was addressing the haters or whatever that was hating on him.
Shannon Sharp?
Yeah, they were hating on him.
For what?
I guess they were
going to hate.
You're right. They're going to hate no matter what. But he was kind of like, just saying, like, about being an interview or whatever, like, not being a safe place or I don't know. But he was basically just ranting basically about that. He created a safe place for people and comedians and whatever to just say what they want to say. And he doesn't do it like an interview. He tries to do it more of as a conversation thing.
That's so what it feels like.
More comfortable. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. You know, he wanted to be different.
He didn't really ask, like, I mean, he did ask a couple questions, but it was like a conversation and just letting the person talk. Because, I mean, he didn't have to instigate at all. That's not what it was. It was just like, what you want to talk about? And then, you know, what we talking about
when
this
you
time?
Think about it, just done, if you think about it, it's done like a podcast.
Yeah,
he's doing it like a podcast, actually. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think about that till just now.
Yep.
that's why people like podcasts.
Yeah, yeah. That's when I thought about it like that. That's when I was able to listen to it on the road. So I was like, oh yeah, it's just a podcast. We talk about stuff long time. Because right. it kind of rolled from different, you know, topics to topics. And so like you said, he jumped right into talking about something that he talked about before. I've never actually heard of a lot of his beef that he's had. I'm not in that world. I don't pay attention to a lot of the comedians.
I'm going
to
tell you this right now. For what I know, he bumps heads with a lot of people.
Yeah.
Before I even knew about this interview, I know him and Kevin Hart didn't really get along. I knew that much. I forgot who else, but he don't really... There's only a few people he fuck with. Only a few.
Well, he definitely told you.
So he let it know and clear... So first off, he talked about Ricky Smiley. Mm-hmm. So first of all, I'm gonna be honest. I haven't heard anything about Ricky Smiley in years. Yeah. In like over a decade, more than that, probably like maybe 15 years since I heard anything about Ricky Smiley. And so I was like, why are you bringing up Ricky Smiley?
Is he doing something? He said something recently.
Yeah, he was. So there was an interview. So Ricky Smiley was on Club Shay Shay. I almost watched that interview.
Okay,
but it's kind of long itself, and I was like, nah, I ain't gonna watch that. Maybe I should have. But I guess he said something on there about his role in Friday After Next, and that's what got Cat Williams hot. You can't say nothing about Cat Williams though. He's gonna say something. He would even say it in a stand up or something.
I got it. Okay.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, Ricky Smiley and Cat Williams are both in Friday After Next. And I think that's like the first time you see either one of them in a movie. I don't remember Ricky Smiley in another movie.
Because that was early 2000s. Definitely it was Cat Williams' first movie.
That's the first time I... seen Cat Williams was in that mm-hmm. movie. And honestly, when he was in the movie, he was one of the funniest characters.
Yeah.
When I remember watching him, I said, man, that dude, that short pimp cracked me up.
He definitely took the show. And I watched Ice Cube talk about it recently. Like I don't know if you saw that, like the interview, or he just did a camera phone talking about, you know, responding to Cat Williams's interview. And he said, he was like, look, like, you know, I hire people that are funny, and you know, people audition for roles. And he confirmed it. He was like, look, you know, yeah, Ricky Smiley auditioned for Money Mike at first, but when I heard Cat Williams, he was better for it. So it just made more sense. And then he said that you know, he interviewed in acting, and you know, you have a script, and so the script can be funny, but then of course actors can always ad lib, you know. And so he mentioned that. He said, like, look, like he ad libbed and he absolutely created that character and emphasized that character. Ice Cube, it's already funny, but then he kept it going, and that's what we kept a lot of the stuff that he did, you know, made the cut. So, of course, not always the ad-libs make the cut, but it worked. So,
yeah. So, Ricky Smiley, I guess he was on Club Shay Shay and said that he was the one who should have got the role of Money Mike instead of Cat Williams. That's what got Cat Williams hot. Because it's like, what are you talking about? Like, that was my role. You know, like, I got it fair and square kind of thing. And of course, Cat Williams with a little... overboard a little bit about it, because it's like Cat Williams was basically, he was speaking his truth, but in quotations, I would say his truth,
yeah,
kind of thing. Because it's like, because years can go by, you can remember things a little differently. That's what I like about when Ice Cube said something in this, you know, that video you're talking about. I didn't watch it, but I saw a little bit mm-hmm. from it, because he came in very, you know, Ice Cube.
Calm and collected.
He ain't about, it's weird that he's a hardcore rapper from the 90s, right. But he's all peaceful.
Same dude that's the police. you know.
Ice Cube is always
straight out of Compton. Is like, oh my goodness.
I've met Ice Cube. I've met Ice Cube in person, and he is one of the most chill people you ever meet. He's a very chill dude. He's a friendly guy. He's a very friendly guy. Yeah. He really is. Like I met barely know the guy. He shook my hands. How you doing, man? You know, like he's a really, real friendly guy.
Yeah.
So he's gonna be really cordial and
yep.
And speak his truth. Yeah. It is what it is. So because Cat Williams said that it was supposed to be a rape scene in that movie.
Yeah.
And Cat Williams changed it. He was like, you know, because he was like, rape ain't funny no matter who is done to or whatever, because and this is how I knew Cat Williams pretty did a great job in this role, because the person that was trying to rape him was Terry Crews. And to be honest with you, I forgot Terry Crews was in that movie until years later. Like Terry Crews, his breakout role to me was like in White Chicks or something. When he was in White Chicks, I remembered him more. But then, you know, because Friday After Next, that was his first movie, and I didn't even pick up that was Terry Crews. I still was like, oh, I'm just big black man. But with Cat Williams, I was like, oh, that dude's funny. I'm going to remember this guy.
Same scenes. And so it's
like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I like Terry Crews a lot. Don't get me wrong. Oh, yeah. He's one of my favorite celebrities. Like, for real.
So you're saying that Cat Williams said that scene, he's supposed to have been raped.
Right.
And he said that he changed it.
Right, but Ice Cube was like, no, we never had it to be a rape scene.
Yeah, it was so almost say, it's probably, rape scene.
Right.
Which is like, okay, he got out of jail. He's like, yeah, it's going to be me, you know.
Right, because through the whole movie, Terry Crews is all like, you know, he's kind of like, I just got out of jail. And like, he basically wants to rape somebody.
That's his whole thing. That's
this character in the movie. Yes, he's all about trying to get the only some booty.
Just go, so that's all he wants.
Yeah, that's what happens. So he had to come correct about Ricky Smiley. And I didn't blame him for that, because I was like, wow, you know. But
yeah, I mean, I don't know Ricky Smiley personally. People refer to me with him because of the name Smiley. They think that I'm related or that I know
goodness.
Him. So I've heard the name multiple times when I introduce myself. Oh, Ricky Smiley. Like, no, I do know somebody that knows him. Comedian. Yeah. Comedian who works with him and, you know, listen to his radio show and some of his, not all the time, but I listen to some of his like phone call pranks and stuff like that. You know?
Yeah.
So, but that's about it.
Ricky Smiley did stand up at my school, my freshman year.
Raymond High?
No. Nobody comes to Raymond High. Mississippi State.
Wow.
Okay, he did. No, Mississippi State.
That's new to cousin. Cousin was
there. My cousin, like it was like in every sitcom in the 90s.
That's what it was. 94. It was obviously a cousin that came to Raymond High School. Cousin of Ricky Smiley.
He came.
That probably would have happened in 94. He probably did do something like that.
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure he went to somebody's cousin in high school.
He wasn't that big in 94. Somewhere.
That's what I'm saying.
But he was definitely at his height in 98, though.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So, but before we move on from Ricky Smiley, because he mentioned about Ricky Smiley doing Lil Daryl. And I tripped me out when Shannon Sharp was like, come on, Cat!
That's a
whole, come on, Cat! That was a different time! That was a different time!
He did say that. Yeah, oh, man.
I was laughing because I was like, oh, I forgot about Lil Daryl. I was like, oh, no.
That's offensive.
That would get you canceled. That would get you so canceled today. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But he definitely, but I mean, that's why times have changed. I got a bit, you know, just like Shannon Sharp said, that was a different time. We joked on different things back then that we don't do now. He even got Cat to say that because he was like, making fun. Oh, here we go. We got a guest.
Hey.
What up?
What up?
Hey, welcome.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
What's up, man?
Happy New Year to you, fellas.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. So That was a surprise for you, Jason.
Yeah, surprise.
I didn't tell you that Carlton T. Clay was joining us.
Carlton T. Clay has joined the podcast.
Yes, welcome. Sir.
Yeah, so obviously we're talking about the Cat Williams interview. We were just finishing up talking about his talk about Ricky Smiley before we go on with the other comedians. We haven't touched the other comedians yet.
Yeah, we just talked about Ricky Smiley.
That's we just talked about the whole thing with Ricky Smiley. You got any thoughts on that part?
It's that interview was so convoluted. It was so much happening about that whole interview. First, I will say overall the interview was very entertaining. I will say that. The Ricky Smiley part, I watched what Ricky was saying. I saw Ice Cube's part, because y'all know y'all just talked about that. Why Ice Cube saying about Ricky Smiley actually auditioning for the part and everything. I think with the whole thing, it's like you always have. It's always three sides to a story, right? You got it's always the perspective is always going to be different. So you got Cat's perspective, you got Ricky's perspective, and you got what really took place.
Right.
So it's hard to really sit here and be like, oh, no, Cat was right. Oh, no, Ricky's right. You know what I'm saying? So, but I mean, Ice Cube definitely set the record straight as far as Ricky Smiley did audition for that part. He just didn't get it. They decided to give it to Cat Williams. So.
Right.
You know.
And as somebody who casts people, because like I cast people, you've cast people.
Yeah.
You definitely, when somebody is auditioning, it's like, oh, they're not quite got this part, but you know, what I do sometimes is I'll be like, well, maybe this other part is better for you, and especially when you meet someone else that kills the part. Because sometimes somebody comes in, and that's what we're saying, that Cat Williams did kill that part as Money Mike. So I'm like, well, you know, yeah, he deserved that part.
Right.
So that's probably what happened.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, he probably, probably what I'm thinking happened was he was saying, okay, I'm a let Ricky audition, because I mean, I do want Ricky to be a part of this movie. And like you said, he probably auditioned for the role. He's like, maybe we'll give you the Santa. We're going to give you the Santa role. That way you can still be a part of it. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's probably what ended up taking place. So again, Cat obviously killed the audition, and it was like, all right, we're going to give it to Cat Williams. So I think that's what we're pretty much took place.
Mm.
You know?
Absolutely.
So let's move on to his
other beefs.
Which one should we talk about? Cedric Entertainer or Steve Harvey?
We can start with Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey. I couldn't help but to laugh when he was talking about Steve Harvey. He said, you know, he couldn't be in movies. So they don't want no Mr. Potato Head dude can't talk in his house. Like, wow.
Country Bumpkin is what he said.
Country Bumpkin,
Mr. He Potato went, Head. Yeah.
And that's, I mean, you know, Cat Williams, he knows what he's doing. He's like, this is a platform, and his goal is, like he said in the interview, his number one goal is to make people laugh. Like, that's his number one goal in life. And, you know, nobody's safe.
No, nobody.
And that's just the way he is.
I would say certain people are safe, because, like, I want to say real quick, there's certain comedians he has high respect for that he said in this interview. You know, Dave Chappelle, he got high respect for. D.L. Hughley, he's
Mark
like,
Curry.
Yeah, Mark Curry. Yeah.
Which
Mark Curry helped him a lot. Yeah.
And I remember seeing Mark Curry specifically talk about Steve Harvey stealing his stuff. Now, I've seen that in the past. You never seen that? I mean, I remember hearing about that a while ago.
I never heard that.
Yeah.
They're not cool? Are they not cool? Or
there was even a side by side of, like, because Mark Curry was saying that he basically stole everything from Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
I never thought about that until Cat Williams brought it up. Yeah, I really never thought about that, because I was like, Hanging with Mr. Cooper and the Steve Harvey Show are alike.
Yeah.
They're kind of, they're very, very similar.
It's got the high school, it's got the, you know, he's in the school. It's different. Like, he's not the musician, but he's still like a, you know, kind of a.
I mean, I could see. I guess to me, I guess coming from a writer's perspective, to me, it's two different scenarios from Steve's character and Mark's character as far as what the storylines and stuff that they dealt with on the show.
Yeah,
I felt like, of course, what happened with Mr. Cooper the first season was more adult because they was more so dealing with his relationship with his roommate.
Right, roommate focus.
But then when they moved on to the later season, it became a little bit more family oriented, mm-hmm. and it dealt with stuff at the school. Yeah, they dealt with the stuff at the school, but I think it more so dealt with more stuff at his home too, as well. But with Steve Harvey, it was at the high school, but I think it was a little bit more still more adult stuff, especially with the students, like with Romeo and Bullethead and stuff. I think the only similarities really between them were they were both teachers.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I mean, just, I could see how you could draw the conclusion that, because again, if you're saying that Steve Harvey stole, of course you can bring that comparison over to the two sitcoms, but I think this storyline, I don't think the two shows to me, I think they're different.
Plus you have a lot of network executives and stuff.
I mean, showrunners, that's a real thing.
You know, you have a lot of people behind it. They probably saw how great Hangar Mr. Cooper was doing and then went to Steve Harvey and said, hey, we can offer you the same type of thing. Like that could have been the case too.
Which I think that's most of the story. Because if you think about like the industry, especially, you know, you get to A-list, B-list, to the, you know, from B to A-list, you have people that are writing all the stuff. You're not, you're a performer. And so you get the script, you get the content. Because even with Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, like, that wasn't his story, you know? Like, he...
Right, you know, yeah.
Even though his name is Will Smith, like, it wasn't him.
They changed it, right, yeah. And
so
right.
It was kind of like, you know, so I think that when it comes to a TV show, if you're the celebrity, like, name, then you're probably not the creator for real behind it.
And let's be honest, there was a lot of TV shows in the 90s where it was featuring Black comedians. That would use their real name, Martin, Jamie Foxx. I think Jamie Foxx show, his name was Jamie, wasn't it?
His name was Jamie, yeah.
So, you know, you had the Wayans brothers, you had, of course, Fresh Prince, you know, all those shows.
Which I think that was helpful to get to know, so the actor is known by, and that was really brilliant for them to be able to use their name so that you know that their name for the show
is of course,
real name. Yeah. So it's like that way you know them later on in life.
Yeah. Now I remember. So I think the reason why they compared Mark Curry to Steve Harvey is because they both hosted Showtime at the Apollo.
Yeah.
And that's I actually remember the moment I saw the episode where Mark Curry. Yeah, when they switched, when he kind of passed it on to Steve Harvey, because that was my first time seeing Steve Harvey. I don't know who this guy was. That was my very, very first time. Seeing Steve Harvey is when Mark Curry was hosting the Showtime on Apollo and was like, all right, well, Steve Harvey, he's going to be hosting from now on now.
I wonder how that went, like how that was. Like, was that a decision that he wanted?
Well, because Hangar Mr. Cooper was getting bigger at the time because Mark Curry was everywhere at that time. So he was hosting Showtime on the Apollo and starring in Hangar Mr. Cooper. And so he
and I'm got pretty off sure of, he wanted to do both.
Yeah, of course he wanted to do both. Probably didn't have time. But I'm pretty sure Hangar Mr. Cooper was making a lot of money. He's like, I need to be more on this. And so that's probably what happened. And then Steve Harvey was hosting for a while, but to the point where people probably forgot that Mark Curry hosted the Apollo, because people definitely remember Steve Harvey hosting it because he did his thing. But then after that, he got the Steve Harvey show. But that was like, I don't even know if those shows were on at the same time, you know?
No, Hangin' Mr. Cooper and Steve Harvey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They may have maybe shared a year together, if that.
That's a good question. Now I got to do my Scooby-Doo
search. Steve Harvey show was from 96 to 2002.
Okay.
And Hangin' with Mr. Cooper was from 92 to 97. So they shared.
Oh, so they did over. Yeah, they did share a year.
Okay. So August 97. So they shared one, basically one season.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay. Okay.
So the last season of Hank and Mr. Cooper is the first season of. So I wonder how we can parallel that and look at that and see what is the same thing. Because, I mean, I'm pretty sure they had the same writers. They were probably writing some of the same episodes.
I think they had some of the same students. I think the same students were on both. Yeah.
Where was Hank and Mr. Cooper? I mean, I know it was Oakland. Where was Steve Harvey's show?
I don't know.
The location of the setting?
Like where it's supposed to be, yeah.
Yeah.
What city?
What city?
Booker T. Washington on the Chicago West Side. That's what it was.
So it was Washington High School.
Yeah, they were in Chicago.
Oh, okay. So it was different parts of the country. Oakland versus Chicago. But
filmed in the same studio.
It wasn't really?
I don't know. I'm just saying. They pass each other in the hallway. Same lockers.
From all competing networks, because Hank and Mr. Cooper's on NBC. Steve Harvey shows on NBC, I think. NBC?
Right. It was on the WB.
Yeah.
WB. Okay. Well, oh, yikes. Wait a minute. Okay, no. I'm getting confused with something else. Never mind.
Well, Steve Harvey used to have a show on ABC called Me and the Boys.
Yes.
And then that got canceled, and then he did the Steve Harvey show. Mm. And that was more successful. That's what happened. So he was trying to be on ABC.
Yeah.
So I could see how arguably that the Steve Harvey show is nothing but a bootleg Hey, We're Mr. Cooper. But just because I watched both series to the end, the storylines are completely different. There's no similarities into, like, the only similarity you got is that they're both
teachers in high school. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, sometimes, I don't know, man. I don't know if people are stealing or if just be a coincidence. So I'm rewatching Boy Meets World right now. And I know every single episode of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I came across an episode of Boy Meets World that was exactly like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Two different shows that are nothing like each other, but they had the same premise. And it was almost around the same time. And I was like, did one steal from the other? So the plot was the
same writer.
I don't know. Script. The plot was in Boy Meets World, Corey and Eric were coming back from like across the country or whatever. Eric didn't want to go back to Philly, and they stop at this little town. They stop at this little town because Eric didn't want to go back, and Eric wanted to stay at this little town.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you remember Fresh Prince, Carlton didn't want to, I think he didn't get accepted to Yale or something like that. And he was like, he was going through something and he wanted to stay in this little town. Yeah. And I was like, this is the exact same plot.
Wasn't he like gambling or something? Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, he was gambling or something like that. There's a bunch of episodes like that. But I was like, when I watched that Boy Meets World episode, I was like, this is exactly what happened on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And then I'm pretty sure it was around the same time. Like, they both were in 96. Both those episodes came out in 96.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, I wonder. So I don't know. Because one's a white show, one's a black show. So
yeah,
one's more... younger audience, the other one's more older audience, so I don't know.
man, Hollywood, you wouldn't even know these days. You I don't know, like people selling, people copying and pasting. Hollywood is just what it is. It's weird.
And that's why Cat Williams so mad. And so he like you copying and pasting and you stealing and you ain't creative, you ain't writing, and he's arguing that, you know, nobody's writing. He's the one that writes and everybody else don't.
Yeah. So he talked about Steve Harvey not doing stand-up anymore. Because I was like, wait a minute, when was the last time I heard of Steve Harvey stand-up? I was like, yeah, I think it has been a while. Because, he's busy, though. The dude got like five shows. Yeah. Like, for real. You know, does he still do his talk show?
I'm pretty sure he does, and he hosts as a judge.
That got canceled.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, he's got Family judge, Feud.
He's got his radio show, but the talk show itself, I think the talk show got canceled.
Oh, okay.
The Steve Harvey Morning Show. He still do that.
Yeah, he still got that. So he don't got time to do stand up.
What else did you say? I think I found with you.
He's a judge. Yeah. So
he doesn't
judge Steve or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's still on.
Yeah,
it's got shows, different, you know, I've seen a couple episodes.
He's always doing something, so.
Yeah.
And he didn't get him the host things, too, like, you know.
Yeah, he's the host thing, so he definitely does that. So.
I mean, when he sets the whole standard, I'm not a comedian. I'm not a fan of comedian. I don't know that world. But I do know my world, and I do know there are times where you just don't want to do it anymore, or you feel like you want to put to the side things for other things.
Yep.
So, you know what I'm saying? I'm in that phase right now, personally. I'm not doing the filmmaking right now anymore. I'm exploring other things with creativity, like other content stuff that I want to do. So, it's not necessarily that I can't have with other filmmakers. I definitely can. I mean, that's proven. But it's why I'm not really wanting to do that. So, I mean, maybe with Steve, it's like, all right, I've done the comedy circuit. I'm really in that space to really go on tour anymore right now. Cause I don't feel like it.
And yeah, I understand that myself
like
too.
Like you said, Josh, he's busy. Like, he got other stuff. Plenty going on the road takes a lot out of you. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I mean,
oh, yeah.
With other stuff.
Yeah, like I don't really act in front of the camera anymore like I used to. I used to be, you know, I used to do a lot of acting. Jason would tell you I did a lot of acting. I'm more behind the scenes now. I'm not trying to get in front of the camera anymore. I don't mind it. If somebody want to put me in front of the camera, I'll do it. But for the most part, I'm more behind the scenes now. It's like,
now, who did Cat Williams say that didn't want to be? Somebody was interviewed and said they didn't want to be a movie star. Was that Steve or Sid the Entertainer?
I don't remember.
Because he said that. He was like, who said they didn't want to be a movie star on this show? Maybe it was, because I don't think he interviewed Shant. He didn't interview, so it must have been Sid.
I think he has Steve Harvey on there.
Okay.
He did. I didn't, because a lot of recommendations popped up on YouTube
course,
for me.
After you watched 3 hours YouTube, you're gonna say,
you can also watch these. Club Shay Shay. Yeah. So,
that makes
sense.
I was tempted,
but I was like, they're not gonna be as good as Cat Williams.
No,
I'll just be honest. Let's
start off with entertainment.
Let's move on to Cedric the Entertainer.
Yeah,
what he said about him.
He was going. I feel like he really. If you were gonna rank who he hated the most. I feel like Cedric the Entertainer was definitely number one. he was going.
Saw a side by side comparison of the joke
that
he was talking about. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I was like, oh no, he did steal it. It's very, very similar. And I was like, oh no. Because that's like a big no-no in the comedy world. You can't steal someone's exact joke.
Yeah.
That's what Carlos, what's his name? This is Mexican comedian, Carlos Menzies or something. I forgot. I'm not saying his name right. But this dude is known for stealing jokes, and other comedians hate that guy. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And you tell the story as it is your own, then it's like, it's kind of like, okay, wow. But I mean, a lot of comedians
borrow stuff.
Aren't writing their own stuff. So it's like actually have to read other people's content, and sometimes they just don't know where it came from and they just tell it. Not to make that as an excuse.
Yeah, definitely not an excuse. No. I I'm not gonna lie, like, my eyes were open because I think, like, early on, I didn't know that comedians had writers for them. I thought to be a comic, you gotta be on that pen game, you know.
Which makes sense. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. It's like rapping to me. Like, I feel like I didn't know rappers had other people writing for them.
It's a little bit of both. Like, just like rappers, can have both. They can write their own lyrics, or somebody else can write it for them. Comedians are the same way. They can write their own material, or they can have somebody else write it for them. You know, they can have, because some comedians you would hear have a writing staff or something like that. And it's like, they, you know, they'll bounce jokes off of some other people that's not, you know, that they'll do the joke for them. So that happens.
I've known somebody that wrote Forced it.
I didn't know they did that. I was like, wow, okay.
So yeah, I knew somebody that wrote for Sid the Entertainer for some stuff that he did. So like, I'm familiar with that, and but it's like the comedy comes from, because even a good comedy, it's all about timing and telling a story. Because you can tell anything if you read a newspaper and make it funny if you're good, you know.
Oh yeah.
And so,
I like Cedric the Entertainer. I like him. So. I got no beef with any of these people.
I don't have like anybody that he mentioned. I was like, I mean, I still like these people. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if y'all talked about this yet, but like I said, I think the qualm that I had, it's not even Cat Williams. I think the qualm is with the people watching the interviews. It's like all of a sudden, oh, you don't like Steve Harvey now because Cat Williams said this thing about Steve Harvey.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah,
I got
all of a sudden, you hate Kevin Hart, even though you laughed at majority of his movies. Like, you're just like, come on, like, it's a whole, but I just don't like the bandwagon. That's the thing that bothered me about this whole experience.
Yeah,
so that's interesting. So I'm not familiar with what people are saying about the interview. So I only watched the interview. I didn't actually watch or hear anything that anybody else is saying. I haven't, like I told Josh earlier, I hadn't really been on social media much. And so I hadn't really seen what people are saying. Mm-hmm. And so like, I don't know if like my thought is, are people taking Cat Williams' side more, or are they against Cat Williams? And so it sounds like people are more Cat Williams' side, huh?
Oh yeah, definitely. It's a lot of people that are championing Cat Williams. I mean, again, if you feel like, because my stance on it is this: I am not there. I wasn't there, so I don't know. I can't sit here and say, "Oh no, Cat Williams is lying," but I also can't say that Cat Williams is telling the complete truth, because again, I wasn't there.
Right.
That's his perspective. That's his truth. That's what he believes. That's truth to him.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna discredit anything that he's saying, but at the same time, I'm not gonna 100% say, oh, Cat Williams is definitely telling the truth. You can't say, you don't know that, man. You wasn't there, so you can't 100% say that he's telling the truth. I can't honestly sit there and say that he's telling, you know, without fact checking different things. You know what I'm saying? Do I feel like some of the interview was embellished? Absolutely. He's a comedian. He wants, again, his goal was to make you laugh.
Yes.
So a lot of that, I feel some of that stuff was kind of like, all right, Cat. But I'm not going to
come on, Cat.
Come on, Cat.
But I'm definitely not going to sit up here and say that he was lying. I can't say that. But I can't full confidence say that he was telling the truth about everything.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely not going to sit up here and bash these men that he was talking about, because, I feel like what's happening is a lot of people. I compare this to the Tyler Perry syndrome. There's some people that don't like Tyler Perry, but they're gonna. So if anything comes out about him, they're going to believe it automatically.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
They don't like it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If Cat Williams is saying negative things, let's say you don't like Kevin Hart. If Cat Williams is saying negative things about Kevin Hart, of course you're going to believe Cat Williams because you don't like Kevin Hart. So anything Cat Williams says about Kevin Hart, you're going to automatically say, oh yeah, of course he's telling the truth, without, you know, actually having the facts to really back it up. You know what I'm saying? So that's just how That's how I feel about that.
Yeah, it feeds your opinion about a person already.
Well, this is my thoughts on it. So I'm in the middle of watching that documentary with Kevin Hart and Chris Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty good. I'm like halfway through it right now. And of course, I've seen like years ago that there was like this... it was like a bunch of comedians that got together. I think it was on Netflix. It was like a Netflix thing. Was it? It wasn't Comic View. It was something else. It was the, what was it? HBO one. What was the HBO stand-up thing called?
Not Def Comedy Jam.
Yeah. It was Def Comedy Jam, and they had a lot of all the comedians got together or whatever, you know, because you had, you know, Steve Harvey, Dave Chappelle, all of them got together or whatever. And just watching the documentary thing, because they interviewed D.L. Hughley and Cedric the Entertainer at the same time, because they were the kings of comedy, and they even admit on there that things are better now, like you know, kind of passing the torch to Chris Rock and Kevin Hart, saying yeah, they're hot right now, you know, we were hot in our time, now they're the hot ones, that kind of thing. And so what I noticed is a lot of these comedians, they lift each other up. They were talking good about each other. Like, yeah, you know, yeah, I got inspired by so-and-so and this person, you know, everybody gives Eddie Murphy props. Everybody, yeah. Nobody hates on Eddie Murphy. He's like the top comedian.
Yeah. I mean, you got Eddie Murphy and Richard Pryor. Like you can't
touch nothing. Them. Yeah.
You can't say nothing.
Dave Chappelle's probably right under Eddie Murphy. Like everybody says the same thing about.
You're right.
And I would say Chris Rock is up there too. Like Chris Rock is right under Dave Chappelle. Like everybody, like, there's just certain people that everybody just give props to. And I feel like after seeing that, I said, I think Cat Williams is like that dude that's left out, that he gets left out of things and stuff because he's such an
eccentric.
Eccentric, or just like he just speaks his mind. He's one of those. He would probably almost be the Kanye of the comedian world, the comedy world.
Oh, yes. I think Shannon Sharp thought that. That's why he asked him about Kanye.
Which I definitely want to talk about. What you think about Kanye? I bust out laughing when he said about Kanye. I said, oh, no. He said something about like, hey, I'm not the one that married a whore or something like that. I was like, come on, Kat.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right, Josh. It's like he's unapologetic. He's gonna speak his mind, and I think in that he's not trying to make friends or, you know, do a dance for anybody. And in the process, I think he does go too far. You know,
he probably holds grudges. Cause it's probably what it is. That's
probably
he's holding grudges. That's what it is. That's what it is. Cause I think all these comedians get along. I think all the comedians he talked about, they all get along, but he's like the odd man out because, you know, there's certain people that can probably handle him, you know, that he mentioned, you know, like Dale Hughes can probably handle him or someone.
And
you know?
People that knew him, like Nick Cannon, you know.
So. Nick Cannon. Yeah. He mentioned he had nothing bad to say about Nick Cannon. So it's like, So last comedian we're gonna talk about anybody he talked about, but he also mentioned a lot about Phasing Out Love.
Oh,
I'm like, why did he mention him?
Because I was like, well, Phasing Out Love hasn't had a stand up. I was like, I don't think I've ever seen a stand up
Phasing Out Love. That's his whole point.
I'm not even gonna lie, bro. The only thing I really know of Phasing Out Love, this is bad. The only thing I know about Phasing Out Love is Parenthood.
Yeah, for me, that's when I first knew who he was. But he's, you know, he's Big Worm in Friday, and he plays the main guy in Bebe Kids. He plays Robin Harris in Bebe Kids. So
yeah, that's important. You
know. Well, so, I mean, to be honest with you, like I said, I mean. I know y'all grew up in a safe household. I a lot of these movies I'm just not really watching as an adult. So
I got you. Well, we definitely watch movies. I do remember Phasing Out Love from The Parenthood.
You watched The Parenthood a lot. I remember that. You watched.
Well, I mean, I rewatched it because
we didn't have the channel.
Live. So I couldn't watch it when it first came out. So, but yeah.
I mean, Phasing Out Love, he pops up in movies and stuff. You know, he's an elf, you know,
ain't
stuff
he
like
in,
that.
Ain't he in F Child Support?
Yes, he is. I'm not gonna talk about that. Not mentioning that, but yeah, he is. sound like he was recorded in a bathroom, but
yeah.
So I snuck that audio from him and put it in the.
So I mean, stuff. I don't know why he has beef with FaZe Young. Like, did he say something about him?
I don't know.
Like,
I don't know
because it didn't make sense to me.
Somebody, you know, backstage somewhere, maybe Kat said something on stage, and somebody, another comedian, came up to us and maybe should have said that. And he's like, "Well, I can say whatever I want to," you know, like could have been the case.
It definitely sounded like a middle school beef at that point. So when he's talking about him, it sounds like something that, you know, you like you holding a grudge that happened that you just need to get over. Because, I mean, honestly, nobody's thinking about them. And I mean, he says that, too. It's like, well, you know, he compare what I have to what he got. And I'm like, OK, yeah, like you obviously aren't in the same conversation. Cat Williams is not in the same conversation as FaZe Young Love. Like, it's not. You talk about Cat Williams differently. If FaZe Young Love had an interview with Shannon Sharp, it would not have been gone viral. Like, it would... you know, so it's like, you it's know, true. I mean, it's like, why you don't even waste your time. So, but he wasted a lot of time, which, you know, okay, fine. That's him. So he wanted us to know how, where he felt.
There is no way on God's green earth I'm spending 2 hours and 42 minutes talking about people I don't like. I'm not doing it. Like, no. Like,
that means you got a lot of anger. That's what it is. I'm not that angry either.
Right. But just not agree with you. I think with Ricky, Steve, and Cedric, he was just, I guess, responding to their interviews that they already did.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
With Faison, Kevin, Tiffany Haddish, whoever else he mentioned, they're like, they have not talked about him at all. It was like, all right, now I'm just going to start bringing in people. I'm just going to start talking about everybody.
Well, I know him and Kevin Hart had bumped heads. So I already knew. I knew he never liked him.
But that was, but that was like, I mean, yeah, they're not cool. But I mean, Kevin, they haven't had a interaction as far as said anything. Kevin hasn't said anything about him in years. So it's like, why did you bring Kevin into the argument? I just didn't understand. You just bringing people into the party that didn't ask to be invited.
No, he's just angry. He angry. You gotta go off on everybody.
Gotta be.
Oh, geez. He's that angry off his chest, boy.
Yeah, he had to get. Yeah, he had a lot of stuff to get off his chest.
Yeah, he said that Kevin Hart was a plant. That's what he said.
Oh, yeah.
He's just like, just hand him a script and just do everything. And so, I mean, I wonder, like, because, I mean, he's the short comedian that went from 0 to 100 immediately.
Yeah, he did mention that Kevin didn't have any sold out shows. He was talking about that. He's like, nobody said they came from a sold out show from Kevin Hart. And I'm like, yeah, in the beginning, everybody starts off kind of low in the beginning. I'm like, I know for a fact he has sold out shows now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like, that's different than when you're like first starting out. So you can't talk about that. Like, come on, man, you start picking on someone that just got started back then. You know, like that's different. Like, you know, it's what it is. You're just angry at him, whatever.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, so Kevin Hart, you know, he has like you can tell that he hustled. With come to like content and movies and just like doing everything to a point, like work ethic. Cause I mean the stuff, you know, from Soul Plane to, you know, random, you know, movies that you're like, wait, I didn't know he was in this movie too, but he was just hustling so much to get, so people can know who he is.
Right.
And I think that's
right.
What happened. It's like, he did that and he achieved it to a point where now he's, you know, A-list.
He's a star. Yeah, he's A-list.
So, yeah, you know, and I don't think that didn't happen by just, I don't think that just happened in the way that Cat Williams described it as like, okay, well, they just handed him this, you know, celebrity on a package deal. And I'm like, I don't think that's not that, you well, know, it's seeing.
There's a little bit of jealousy there. That's what it is.
You think so?
Yeah, it's some jealousy. Because that's one thing I noticed when I was watching that documentary. Because it's like nobody's really. I mean, people gonna be haters. People gonna be jealous. But at the same time, be happy for your, you know, peer if they're getting up there. You know, like, you know, I'm at the point now where I know a lot of people that's in the career of movies and television. And I'm happy every time I see someone get something big. I'm like, hey man, go ahead. You know, I'm not gonna be like, hey, fuck that guy. You know.
Yeah. But I mean, I feel like that is part of Cat Williams's brand, though. So it's like he can't. He's not that. You know. Good job, Kevin Hart. Like, so like, you know, that's not going to be him. You know what I mean? So I think that's part of his. That's part of who he is from the beginning.
Did y'all see that? I don't know how true this is, but y'all see that Toy Hart supposed to be going on tour with Cat Williams, Kevin's ex.
Tour. Oh, that's funny.
I didn't.
It was an article. I didn't click on it, but it's an article going around that Tory supposed to be going on tour with Cat Williams.
That's funny.
Oh, okay.
If Petty had a face.
Mm-hmm. Man.
I know. Man. Well, hey, I'm and I bet you Cat Williams is gonna have sold out shows. You know he's gonna have sold out shows.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's 38 something million people that sit down and watch the 3 hour and was entertained. Like, it was like, I was honestly entertained, and now that helped me to think, you know what, maybe I will watch one of his stand-ups that's on Netflix, because it was entertaining to hear him talk for three hours. Like, I... So, you know what? Yeah, so that, you know, he became more relevant to me now.
Now, other things, he talked about other stuff in this, this interview. Like, he mentioned about Prince, how him and Prince were cool.
Him and best friends.
It's
because of Cat Williams that Prince likes cars and women. Oh, he did not think that we thought that was serious. Ain't no way in the world.
Come on, Cat! What else he said? He smoked more than Snoop. He could smoke,
which
Snoop
is probably believable because the way he was talking, I'm like, that would explain everything. He is perpetually high. That explains all of it. So yeah, there it is.
Oh man. So I guess there's some truth, because you remember. All right, so there was one part he mentioned that. After Bernie Mac died, they were considering him to be like one of the kings of comedy. Like they, so I think that's probably
where the beef comes.
Yeah, yeah.
Which makes sense, because it's, you know, he's been doing comedy for a while, you know, and he is a household name. Even if, you know, most people, when you say Cat Williams, especially our generation, knows exactly who he is and can do his voice, you know what I mean? Like, he's, you know, he do a parody. So it's like, okay, Cat Williams is definitely, you know, hands down. And, you know, they call him OG on Wildin' Out. Like, you know, it's like, okay, he is very well known and funny. Like we said earlier, like everybody, we laugh at him and what he does. He's good. He is a good comedian, you know? So is, like,
definitely.
So, yeah. And he's creative and he's a writer and he's, you know, he's able to do it. So like, I think that the idea of, if you actually put side by side the original kings of comedy, you know, and it comes to stand up, Cat Williams could have been on the list, you know, and maybe it was something that he said that got him off the list, you know, or somebody had beef with somebody else and he pissed, you know, like that could have been it. Cause I'm like,
yeah. And if they did touch on it. They did touch on it a little bit in that documentary I'm watching, that the kings of comedy, I think some egos got in the way with them. So that's why they couldn't just stay like they were or whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah. Cause I mean, they called them kings of comedy in the 2000s, the original kings of comedy.
Right.
And this was what, 2099, something like that?
99, 2000.
And it's like, you know, they were doing stand up comedy, but I mean, who decided that they were the kings of comedy, you know?
Right. Well, Spike Lee was putting it together. Yeah. Spike Lee did it, you know?
Yeah.
Spike Lee's the one that put it together. And and it's a play on, I think it's a play on that Martin Scorsese movie, The Original King of Comedy. And so he did. He did his thing with the original kings of comedy.
Oh, so that sounds like Spike Lee. So yeah, that makes sense. If that right there does make sense, because it's not like you're saying that these are the kings of comedy. You're playing on that king of comedy, Martin Scorsese, as a director to get people to see black people as high quality comedians.
Right.
That makes sense. So it's like he could have had anybody do that.
Plus, it was a... All right, so it was definitely a term for them, but I remember I made a post a while ago. It was like a couple of years ago I made this post, and because I thought about it, I was like, wow, different comedians had different decades, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And so I said, and I pointed this out, I said, Richard Pryor had the 70s, Eddie yeah. Murphy had the 80s, mm-hmm. Martin Lawrence had the 90s, I yep. forgot who I said for the 2000s. I think I said Chris Rock had the 2000s and Kevin Hart has the 2010s. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, you know, nobody really has 2020s yet. You know, I don't know who would have it yet, but that's why I said, Williams. I think I posted.
Cat Williams got 2020. Cat Williams is back.
I'll say more of a younger comedian. If there's a younger yeah. comedian,
I don't know. It's there. Hard to see somebody that's up and coming. I mean, who did it would probably be
like the DC, like DC on Fly, like somebody in that.
But is he's doing stand up?
Oh, I would. I think. Wait, is he?
Well, because like the reason why I said those certain people, because you remember Richard Pryor, he was starring in a lot of movies back then.
You had movies mm-hmm. and stand up. Yeah, that's the
right.
thing.
And then Eddie Murphy,
movie stand up. Movie stand up. That's definitely right. that. It became a list because of their stand up and their movies.
Mm. Oh, I think I said a little bit.
I
of Chappelle.
Said Dave Chappelle. Kinda,
yeah, Dave Chappelle, Chappelle. My bad. Yeah, Dave Chappelle. But he wasn't starring in that many movies. That's why I was like, maybe Chris. No. But yeah, maybe it was more Dave Chappelle because Dave Chappelle was like big, you know. But he was big for a short time, like not as big as Eddie Murphy had. Because Eddie had the 80s and it kind of crossed over to the 90s with Eddie. Eddie was so big, he had the 90s too.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
He owned it. He owned the 80s and most, not most of the 90s, but yeah, he definitely.
At least half
residual,
of the
90s.
He,
residual yeah, from
he,
the 80s.
He was doing a lot. 90s. He was doing a lot.
Yeah.
And so that's why I say Kevin Hart had the 2010s. He had, like, Kevin Hart was popping in a lot of movies.
Yeah. You know? He had a lot of yeah. bad movies coming out.
Yeah, and he had a stand-up. So that's why I was like, Kevin Hart right. was hot for the 2010s.
I mean, yeah. And he still
so
does
that's
stand-up.
Why I was like,
and he still
right,
does Netflix
yeah.
specials.
So that's why I was like, but I didn't name any of the kings of comedy.
Yeah.
But I thought
that,
about
and
those,
that's,
you know?
When I think about them, I don't think about them as, like, the funniest people. You know? Like,
with the exception of Bernie Mac, though.
Bernie, yeah, so I was going to say, Bernie Mac, you know, RIP. I saw a video.
Classmate of our dads.
Yeah, yeah.
Bernie Mac went to the same high school mm-hmm. as our dad.
He's in a yearbook.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. My dad, our dad actually knew Bernie's wife.
In the same class, not graduating
yeah.
class, but same class.
Yeah, he even showed us his yearbook and showed us Bernie
yes,
Mac in the yearbook.
Wow.
We so, have yeah. Bernie Mac oh. in the yearbook. with same school. But yeah. I was going to say, I saw one of his the stuttering joke that he did, I think that was on Kings of Comedy about the bus driver, and I saw someone else do that before him, and they showed it and they would do like a time side by side, and I was like, Bernie Mac did that way better. Like, even if he stole it exactly like it, I'm like, yeah. he did it a whole lot better.
That's,
and I'm like,
the way it is.
And it was. It's like, I don't even know if there's a debate that he did it better or not. It's like, yeah, it's obviously that he did it better. So I'm like, Bernie Mac, yeah, he's definitely up there. And, you know, he definitely owned whatever he was able to do. His shows, his movies, every role that he was in, you know, yeah, every stand up, yeah. Bernie Mac, hands down, hilarious.
Because Cat Williams did mention that Steve Harvey was trying to get into Ocean's 11.
He did say Bernie that. Mac. Yeah, he did say that.
Over Bernie. He was trying yeah. to, like, I'll do it for cheaper. And, like, Bernie was,
which
Bernie was
I couldn't imagine
role,
Steve Harvey.
I can't imagine Steve Harvey.
Because I'm like,
Harvey
I didn't, honestly don't know. And that, maybe Come that's what on. It was. Can you think about any movies that Steve Harvey been in?
He was in this Nick Cannon movie. What's Love Got to Do with It? Remake,
oh yeah,
whatever.
Love Don't Cost a Thing.
Yeah, that's the one.
Love Don't Cost a Thing. Yeah.
He was in Johnson Family Vacation.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He was in Fighting Temptations.
Barely saw that movie. So yeah,
I mean, I'm not trying to tell you anything.
I got you.
I know.
Yeah. No,
he was in that Kevin Hart movie. What was it called? Where he wrote a book.
Think Like a Man.
Think Like a Man. Wow, yeah.
That's the book that he wrote. Think Like a Man.
So, he's in the movie though.
Yeah. So he wrote that book and he is in the movie. So yeah. With that saying, he's not a movie star, and I think that's probably what Cat Williams was saying. Like, he's not a movie star, and in his words, maybe he said didn't want to be one. But I mean, who doesn't want to be a movie star if you had the opportunity?
I mean, yeah. I mean, all the comedians he listed, they're not really movie stars, except for, obviously Bernie Mac. But did Bernie Mac, like, star in a movie? I don't think he ever starred. He was always, like, a side character.
Which is part of Kevin Hart was able to make that role. And I think it's because of his hustle. Because you think about it, like, the people that you mentioned that owned the decades were able to be stars in movies and shows and not just supporting people. Because it's like, you got to take the comedy from the supporting role. Because, I mean, Cat Williams has never been a star. He never own a movie like the Cat Williams movie. And you're like, oh, I'm a watch. Because you can't, it's like hard to imagine that. Like, he's a supporting role.
Right. So
like,
people are just,
personality.
Yeah. Right.
That's what it is. But Kevin Hart absolutely can own and take a whole show, and we saw how he can be serious too, which was like, oh my goodness. So he helped us with that. So, which I think, you know, that's what we see with Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy, and, you know, and even and Chris Rock, you know, hadn't been a lot of movies, you know, but he can own it and be a, you know, main person.
All right. So is there anything else from this interview that I probably forgot to mention or y'all thought about or whatever?
Well, he talked about politics. So he mentioned a little bit about that, you know.
I think everybody feels the same way he said. He said something everybody agreed on.
I don't disagree.
I was at a video shoot a couple of days ago, and we was all taking a picture, and it was like, hey, smile, everybody's just smiling or whatever. And then one guy said, it's an election year, and everybody bust out laughing.
That's how you get people to laugh.
Yep. Like, either way, we screwed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's going to be a repeat of 2020.
Of course.
It's going to be a repeat.
I work in the news business, and I am not looking forward to election day. I'm not looking forward to it at all.
I think I'm going to hide. I'm going to hide.
Oh, you're going to hide.
Hide out for until, shit, maybe January.
Oh, goodness. After the inauguration. So
exactly, afterwards. Because I saw a meme the other day that said, it's white Juneteenth. I said, white Juneteenth? I said, oh, it's January 6th.
Oh, wow. That was the other day.
I forgot.
Ooh. Wow. Okay. Crazy.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, man. What else he mentioned?
Because he said some stuff, you know, we touched
on about Illuminati.
Oh, yeah. He's talking about Ludacris. Yeah.
This is the thing. So he said one of us had to cut their hair off and, you know,
we'll offer promised 10 movie deal.
10 movie deal for $10 million. And then I was like, he didn't say that he wasn't the one. He's always wearing hats and covering up everything. I'm wondering, like, did he cut off some of his hair? Because his hats cover up his whole head, and I'm like, and he mentioned earlier that his Netflix deals were like $10 million.
Oh, you think he was talking about
Luke, I mean, Chris. He was, but was he? Because he's very intentional with his words. When he want to talk about somebody, he'll talk about somebody, you know, and he don't be sugarcoating.
Oh, he also talked about Harvey Weinstein.
Oh yeah.
He also mentioned Diddy.
Yeah, there's some memes careful. About that.
I'll be careful to talk about Diddy. Diddy crazy.
Isn't everybody? But he don't care. Like, Cat Williams obviously don't care. He talk about anybody. So, but yeah, we did watch the, you mentioned it. We were talking about this earlier. That movie that Nick Cannon directed.
Yeah, School Dance.
School Dance. So yeah. I put that on today. Fell asleep. Definitely the funniest part in the whole movie was Cat Williams' part.
Yes.
That's a thing that people
Carlton,
watch.
You ever seen this movie? You ever seen that movie, School Dance?
I've never seen it.
But you probably seen the clip from Cat Williams.
I forgot this movie existed till Cat Williams brought it up. And he said, he was like, hands down, I got the funniest scene in the movie. And he, I was like, then I watched it. True. I was like, he's right.
it was true. Cat Williams has the funniest scene in the movie.
He was like, well, he's telling the truth.
It's the honest truth.
It's pretty much, Nick Cannon's show, Wildin' Out.
Yeah.
It's pretty much Wildin' Out the movie. That's what School Dance.
All the actors and from there.
Yeah, it's wild because he directed it. Nick Cannon directed it.
Ah. Okay.
And of course, Cat Williams
scene
is bad.
Cat Williams is like he's the. He's in jail.
Yeah.
And I think Tiffany Haddish is like his baby mama, and one of the kids is his son, wherever they're visiting, and
she has two kids with him. She has a teenager, and she has this little boy, his little baby, and he's a white baby. It's just straight up a white baby with glasses on.
Wow.
And she's like, and Tiffany Haddish is talking to Cat Williams. She's like, you guys talk to your sons. You got to talk to your sons. He was like, that's not my son. So I don't know whose son that is. He said that black one is mine. He's like, that is a white kid. That's a Caucasian young man
from
the mountains of Caucasus.
That was definitely the funniest line.
So I'm pretty sure already has a good credit. He has a credit of 730 right now.
<It's> like, sir, I work for you, sir. Sir, I look forward to working for you one day.
He just goes on and on. It's so funny.
It is. It is hilarious. So yeah, definitely look up that clip because it is. Okay.
Definitely do that.
And there's probably people on TikTok revoicing it and stuff like that because it's one of those things. So.
Oh yeah, of course. But yeah, Cat Williams is very, very intelligent. That's one thing you could say about that in the interview. That's people were saying.
Like, yeah,
he's a very smart guy. He speaks very well, all that stuff, you know.
Siobhan was telling me that he's like in Mensa, which makes sense if he was talking about he was reading early on, reading a whole encyclopedia when he was like 8 and stuff like that. So, yeah.
And some people
sense.
Don't believe him, but I'm like, I can believe that. You know, he's very intelligent. I mean, didn't have the internet back then, so why not? You know, if you want information back in the 70s and 80s,
I mean,
how else are you gonna,
to be a comedian, honestly, you do need to be pretty smart.
So
I think that, and if he was on his own at 13, 14 years old and was able to do what he did, it makes sense that he had to be pretty smart.
Yeah. Honestly, whenever I write something that's supposed to be funny, I research and read and look, I don't just write something off the top of my ass. And that makes sense, you know?
Yep.
So, any other things about him?
I didn't know he had so many adopted kids. I didn't know nothing about his life like that.
I didn't either. I remember his stand-up. He talked about his son. So, he talked about that. And so then when you said a bunch of kids, I was like, he had a bunch of kids, but then he said he adopted them and stuff. And then like, they also said that he sends money. He's like, he sends money to other comedians or something like that. He's like, he'll tip other people or something. And that's like, that's proven to be true. So it's like,
a lot of people come out saying that they've received money
from Cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he ain't lying. You know, he's just, like I said, he's just one of those
telling
people.
Telling his truth.
Right, yeah. He just, he's just being real. And people like people who are real, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's probably why they're the internet. Go ahead.
I was saying, just telling his truth in a very eccentric way. That's all.
Yeah. And I think that's probably why, like you were saying earlier, Carlton, that the internet likes him. Because He even all the crazy stuff that he said, he's not canceled. It's like,
I mean, he didn't say support. Nothing to get himself canceled, though. Yeah. I mean, you know,
he just talked negative about people. That's all. So, like,
he's speaking
the people
what
that,
he thought, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, but people can cancel you anyway, any kind of way, though. That you, because when you talk for 3 hours, anything you say, they can just cut and cancel you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's,
if they wanted to, a little bit more
to being canceled. I think it's usually if you, like, it's usually when you do something towards a woman that can get you canceled. That's usually something like that. Like, you know, if it's derogatory or
I see, demeaning or
sexual. Demeaning, that kind of thing, or someone you punch down. That's what it is. If you're punching down at someone, kind of thing, that can get you canceled, because there's a lot of things that people have done recently that they're not canceled, you know, like, you know, the whole thing with Will Smith and Chris Rock. You know, Will Smith is not canceled, you know.
No. But it wasn't a woman, so.
Okay, right now, right. If he went on stage and slapped a woman, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
You already know that. We would have like, Will who?
So yeah, man, I might have to rewatch the I might rewatch this interview.
Oh my goodness.
You're gonna rewatch the whole thing?
Not the whole thing. I might rewatch
there's
the first
clips
30
all
minutes.
Over. Yeah, I might clips. Watch the so look at okay. other people talking about the clips. So I called, so you watched the whole thing. You did watch the whole thing in one sitting.
It took me 2 days, though.
Okay.
Yeah, see, it took me 3 days. I would have it on, and I'd turn it off.
Well,
it was
good.
Long,
it, was,
you know?
It was my drive. My drive from New Orleans, it was perfect. Perfect timing. So I think I finished it as I ended my drive, so.
Yeah. It was like I said, it was definitely, it did its job. It was very entertaining.
That was
it
the purpose.
It got views. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah. It kept me awake at work.
So yeah, if you haven't listened to it yet, listeners, check it out.
Oh yeah, you will
be entertained.
You will definitely want to see the whole thing too. Because at first, I just watched the first 30 minutes. I was like, oh, okay, that's all. But then it's like, no, you got to keep going.
Yeah,
it keeps going.
Yeah, I was like that too. I watched a couple of clips. I was like, nah, I gotta watch the whole. Because at first, I was like, I'm not about to sit here and watch 3 hours worth of Cat Williams talking.
Right. That's what I thought too.
And I was like, oh no, I gotta watch it now. I gotta watch it. What do y'all have y'all talked about like the responses? Have y'all talked about that already?
I don't think
so. Only response I talked about was Ice Cube.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's all. So, I don't know. So me,
but I hadn't
seen
any other people.
Do you know some responses? Because I don't know any responses other than
Ice
Cube's.
Yeah, I mean, like, because Cedric responded, basically he was just saying, like, of course he was saying he didn't steal the joke. Ricky Smiley responded. He responded on his morning show, and then he was talking about. Of course, he was talking about he did audition for the role of Money Mike and stuff like that. Kev never really respond. He was on ESPN, no NBA, something with sports, and his boys, the Plastic Cup guys, they started joking about it, and Kev chimed in a little bit, like picking about the interview. So. It's been a couple of responses. I know, like, the people that he talked about, like, people were saying, like, the responses were really lame. But my take on it is a lot of times, you know, people say when you protest a lot, then there could be some truth to it. So I feel like these people that he talked about, they're like, damn if they do or damn if they don't. Because if they don't say anything, then it's like, oh, y'all quiet. Y'all not responding. Mm-hmm. So he must be telling the truth. But then if they do say something, be like, no, they do too much about it.
Right.
You know, then they be like, oh, well, you doing too much. There must be some truth to it. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like, you know, sometimes maybe no response is the best response. I don't know. But I don't see how you could really respond without people. Because people are going to say what they're going to say anyway.
Yeah.
So,
sometimes you got to take the punches. Because when Chris Rock came out with his special last year about Will Smith, when he finally said something back.
Yeah.
I think Will Smith responded a little bit, but I was like, I said, if I was Will Smith, I just wouldn't say nothing. Just take it.
Yeah.
Just take it.
Yeah.
Because you were in the wrong with that one. So it's only fair that he go off, you know, it's like, you know. So in this case with Cat Williams, I'm like, yeah, just let him, you know, he's going to be who he is. He's going to always say something. He's going to say something in his next stand up. He's going to talk about, he's going to talk shit. That's what he does, you know. So,
yep. But I got to give props to Club Shay Shay for setting that up, man. Yeah, that was,
that was my first time watching Club Shay Shay. I've never watched Club Shay Shay before.
Never heard of it. Like, never heard of it until I watched this.
I thought you said you heard it a little bit.
I know about the person, but I didn't know about this show.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm saying I didn't know about the show at all.
I knew about the show. I just never had an interest in watching. But I was like, you might have pulled me in. I might become a member.
I might go back and watch some other interviews. I don't know.
Man, but this is the best way to start 2024, man. Like, this is like, it's like, oh man, if this gives us a preview of what this year is going to be like, I am looking forward to it.
Yeah, all right. Well, Carlton, tell the people where to follow you at.
Oh yeah, you guys can follow me at I'm on Facebook. My name is Carlton Clay, KARLTONCLAY. I'm on Instagram, Carlton T. Clay. I'm on X, Carlton T. Clay. You can also check out my
formerly known as Twitter.
I'm on X.
Not that type of X.
Oh goodness!
This was gonna happen. They gonna take that clip, and now they you know it. Carlton is on air.
Uh-huh. He said it. He said it on the right. Podcast
on Twitter, Carlton. But you can check out my content. You can go to our website, thevpntv.com. Please go there. We are trying to get to 500 subscribers by the end of the month, so. If you haven't subscribed yet, please go to thevpntv.com and you get all the information on our shows and films, including Pastor Thorne 2, which just came out. So y'all check that out.
All right. Jason?
Yeah, man. Look me up on my website, smileyjason.com. Send me some messages. I do check my Facebook Messenger. I'm not on Facebook as much, but I do check the Messenger. So if you want to hit me up, smileyjason, anywhere.
And I am Prop Josh on everything, YouTube, TikTok, with Instagram, go to PropJosh_Productions and PropJosh.com. So
before we sign off, I want to give a shout out to Jason. He is featured in our last issue of VPM Mag.
Hey, he has formed yes. Mag,
so.
All right.
Thank you for the shout out. Thank you for the invite.
Nah, I appreciate you, man.
And we're glad you're on this episode, man. Appreciate it. It was a pleasant surprise. So.
Great. I appreciate you. You know, I'm a fan of the show, so thank you guys for always having me. I definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, this is the first episode of 2024, so.
Yeah, so Carlton, you have any final thoughts for us?
No, don't, please don't put that on. No pressure. You are not about to have Marcy talking about me.
Come on, Carlton.
Oh, that's great. I think that's good. That's good enough. Good night. Thank everybody for listening. You can email us at wwtbttpodcast@gmail.com. That's wwtbttpodcast@gmail.com. For questions, movie suggestions, corrections, personal reflections, beat selections, no, like seriously, if you got beats and you want to hear them played during a segment in the show, just send them over. We'll take a listen. We're going to keep doing this. We're going to upload every Thursday, and hey, maybe we'll hit you up with a couple of surprises. Who knows? Who cares? Hopefully you do. Either way, you know where we be at.